It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. Good to be with you again after a long Christmas break and many Christmas special repeats. It is nice to take a break from the news, but we didn't get far into the new year for bad news to itself break. And literally, just hours after midnight on January 1st, around 3 in the morning in New Orleans, a driver deliberately plows into a crowd of people, killing many, injuring many. He also shot at police and was killed himself when police shot back. Since then, we have learned a lot about him. He was a terrorist, even though the first FBI agent at the first press conference went out of her way immediately to say it was not terrorism. How she knew this before any investigation, I'm sure I don't know. Especially since he had an ISIS flag on the car. And this wasn't at least a clue that it might have been Islamic terrorism? I guess the initial, immediate, knee-jerk default setting of our Justice Department is to deny terrorism, otherwise it makes the Biden administration look bad. But they couldn't deny it for long. Eventually, the FBI walked that statement back, and shortly afterwards, they did admit it was terrorism. The guy was an ISIS sympathizer, but also an American citizen who had once served in our military. His recent social media platform talked about a war between believers and disbelievers. Now, I mentioned that phraseology for those who want to quickly jump in and say, remember, this has nothing to do with true Islam. I realize there are peaceful Muslims. I also know that the so-called radical Muslims are literal with their religion, literally reading jihad commands in the Quran. Now, some of you are listening right now and you're very bothered that I just said that. Disturbs you. Well, if it disturbs you, it's because you have not read the Quran for yourself. Instead, you are repeating PC talking points, or maybe worse, you have read the Quran and you're ignoring what it actually says. The evil genocide took place on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, which was not very well protected. The chief of police openly admitted this. She also said she hoped this incident wouldn't keep people from having a good time in their city. There were a lot of tourists out there to celebrate the new year, to attend the Sugar Bowl. She wanted them to have a good time. Okay, look, I realize we can't stop living every time there's a terrorist attack. I know that the terrorists win if we do that. It's like capitulation. I get it. I agree. But for Pete's sake, don't lighten the moment. There were already 10 people reported dead when she made that statement. Now, that number went up as the day progressed, but it was already at 10 during the press conference. Yes, it's a terrible tragedy, but hey, enjoy your time here in New Orleans. While this was homegrown, a radicalized American citizen, many other people from terrorist countries, this was the report from FBI Director Christopher Wray quite some time ago. Terrorists are here. They feel very emboldened. Maybe if they didn't have a stronghold again in Afghanistan after Biden's incompetent botched up withdrawal, which left 13 American soldiers dead and many other Americans stranded in that haven for cutthroats, not to mention American military equipment left behind in the billions of dollars. Maybe if open supporters of Hamas on college campuses were arrested, in as much as constitutional free speech does not apply to those who openly call for the end of our Constitution, or call for a Sharia state to replace our Constitution, or call for the destruction of the United States. Maybe if after all the vile anti-Semitism this last year on college campuses and streets from coast to coast, the Biden administration hadn't responded by issuing a concern about so-called Islamophobia. Yeah, don't talk about anti-Semitism. Talk about Islamophobia. Maybe if our Justice Department concentrated more on terrorist cell groups or those who openly support terror organizations and less on parents at PTA meetings who don't want boys in the girls' bathroom. Maybe if our military focused on our enemies instead of drilling American soldiers on their pronouns. Anyway, on to other news. And this news, while recent, has roots that go way back. That's right, folks. Yesterday's conspiracy is today's news. The Wall Street Journal published a piece that has the rest of the media in a tizzy, namely that behind closed doors, President Biden had shown signs of slipping. Here's a quote from the Wall Street Journal. When President Biden met with congressional leaders in the West Wing in January to negotiate a Ukraine funding deal, he spoke so softly at times that some participants struggled to hear him, according to five people familiar with the meeting. He read from notes to make obvious points, paused for extended periods, and sometimes closed his eyes for so long that some in the room wondered. On the heels of this story, CBS newswoman Joan Crawford said to her colleagues on Face the Nation, "We should have much more forcefully questioned whether he was fit for office for another 4 years." Oh, really, Jan? You think? Questioned? What exactly was there to question? The answer was in front of us, clear to the naked eye, and for many years long before his debate with Trump. He mumbled, bumbled, and stumbled every time he opened his mouth. He walked off stage the wrong direction after speaking. He could barely walk at all without tripping. He tried once to speak to a person in the audience that had been dead for a while. But we weren't supposed to believe our eyes. We were supposed to ignore the lesson of the emperor's new clothes. We were told that what we saw on TV was a cheap fake. In fact, we were told that a lot of obvious things were not what they looked like. We were assured by Biden that he never even met any of Hunter's overseas business associates. Now we have photos, only recently released from the National Archives, released after the election conveniently. These photos show Biden's associates posing with Uncle Joe. We were assured by Biden himself that he did not weaponize his Justice Department to go after Trump. They did that all on their own. He had nothing to do with it. They did it all on their own. Yeah, sure they did. And birds fly without the help of wings. And now, on his way out, when asked if he has any regrets, Biden mentions two. He says he regrets Merrick Garland didn't prosecute Trump faster. What he obviously means is fast enough to prevent him from winning the election. He also says he wished he had stayed in the race, that he could have defeated Trump like he did last time. But he didn't defeat Trump last time. He did not win in 2020. The election was stolen. That, too, is called conspiracy, but only in the moment, because once again, yesterday's conspiracy eventually becomes news. Now that people are owning up to the truth about Biden's incompetence and the truth about our weaponized Justice Department and the truth about Hunter, just watch. Just you wait and see. After Trump gets into office and puts his cabinet in charge of uncovering things, we'll get confessions about that so-called 2020 election. Cheating that was apparent to anyone paying attention to unconstitutionally changed state election laws. And six states, with Trump ahead, deciding all at the same time to stop counting until morning when, jumpin' Jiminy, Biden was suddenly ahead. But meanwhile, Biden continues to brag about how he beat Trump and could have beat him again. Biden does a lot of bragging. He even bragged before about wanting to punch Trump out like high schoolers used to do when fighting behind the gym. This guy who can't put one foot in front of the other sees himself as athletic. Well, to be fair, Biden does have something in common with sports. The Indianapolis 500 comes to mind because January 20th can't come fast enough, and we want to see Joe step down from power faster than the participants of the Indianapolis 500. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious as obvious in 2025 as it was in 2024.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I am your host, Bob Siegel. By the way, The Bob Siegel Show premiered on KCBQ January 2005. The program is now 20 years old. Today begins our 21st season. What better way to celebrate that than with my good friend, say hello to Jim Barrier.
Well, Happy New Year, Bob. And here's what I have to say about your opening segment. Boom. I'd be okay with just running that 3 more times to conclude the hour. That was as powerful.
Well, I had a long Christmas vacation, so I had to. Yeah. The news was accumulating during that time, so it was building up.
Exactly. But that was just spot on. And it also meant that I have to eliminate some of what I was going to say.
Oh, well, no, the audience probably can't hear it too many times. You go ahead and say whatever you were planning.
Well, if I do, it'll be repetitious and redundant. So think that one through. Man, lots going on. Let me start with this. You know, we said goodbye to Jimmy Carter, 100 years old, lived to be 100 years old, and Jimmy Carter is now off the hook as being the worst president in history.
Yeah, he was probably praying that he could see somebody as a worse president before he passed away, And that prayer seems to have been answered with good old Slow Joe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to go down.
Although I must say, and it's sad to see anybody pass away, and I know Jimmy Carter did some good things, but the guy was really an avid anti-Israelite, anti-Semite. To tell them to make deals with Hamas after what they did last year, that horrific attack, those rapes, those butcheries and murders, and for the longest time, for many years, he was saying Hamas should be a partner that comes to the table. Open terrorist group, calls for the destruction of Israel. So I know he did a peace deal a long time ago over the Egyptian Sinai. Whoopty frickin' do. I'm looking at what the guy's been saying his last few years. So it's always sad, and I wish his family well, of course, but I'm not really celebrating the greatness of Jimmy Carter. Sorry.
No, and I never really did. Back when he ran in 76, I had friends say, well, hey, Jimmy Carter's a born-again Christian.
And he may very well have been, but he was a lousy president.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know, well, if I need a Sunday school teacher, I'll give him a call. But as for president, I don't think so.
Trump is born again, but I know he'll protect the rights of Christians better than Jimmy Carter would have and did, and certainly better than Joe Biden.
Yeah. So there we go. So let's talk about the Joe Biden legacy. You've already gave us a great introduction to this. So I'm just going to hit a few talking points about Uncle Joe. Remember that show, Green Acres? That's Uncle Joe. He's moving kind of slow.
Yeah, except that the Uncle Joe in Green Acres I would have as president over Biden any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
I'd take Arnold Ziffel myself.
I would take Pond Scum. I said that in 2020 when he was running.
Oh, man. So let's here's the first thing that I want to talk about Joe Biden. This is a quote that he made in December 2nd. Joe said, "For my entire career, I have followed a simple principle. Just tell the American people the truth."
Now is he living in Superman's bizarro world where the truth means a lie and everything is the opposite?
Yeah, I guess, because that's just bizarre to hear him say that. And so, moving on with that thought, we're going to talk about Joe's honesty or lack thereof. This is a quote that was taken out of context quite a bit, but I'm going to give you the context of the quote. And he said, this is when he was still running back in 2020, "Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator." And so people kind of shortened that and took it out of context to say, if you govern by executive order, you're a dictator. And that's pretty much the understanding there. But that was Joe saying that. And in his first 100 days in office, Joe Biden signed more than 60 executive orders, 24 of which were direct reversals of Trump's policies.
And when Trump comes in and reverses his executive orders, the liberals are going to take it to court so that some judge will weigh in on whether Trump's executive orders were really constitutional.
And they'll call him a dictator for doing so.
Yeah, exactly. Just for rescinding Joe's orders.
Yeah, and doing the math here, a lot of what Trump will need to do is reverse the things that Biden reversed that Trump did in the first place.
Yeah, honestly, if that's all he does for the first year, even if they pass no legislation, just reversing those executive orders will be in such a better place.
Yeah, I think so. So here's some more things on Joe Biden's integrity. On June 6th,
what integrity?
Exactly. On June 6th, ABC News David Muir asked Biden, "Have you ruled out a pardon for your son?" And he answered, "Yes." A week later,
that was the moment where I knew that the real answer was going to be that he was going to pardon him. The fact that Biden insisted one way, I just listened to what he says and I know he's going to do the opposite.
Oh, you conspiracy theorist.
Unless he's saying something really stupid, then I do know he'll do that.
Oh, now when has he ever done that? So a week after that, he reiterated the point to reporters during an international summit, and he said, "I will not pardon him nor commute his sentence." After he said that, we all know what happened. He pardoned him. Oh, pardon me, Mr. President.
It's like when Kamala took over as the nominee and he said he promised to support her. He says, "You have my word as a Biden." I'm going, how does he make a statement like that with a straight face?
You know, well, I think some of it is if you lie to yourself long enough, you believe the lie. And I think he may believe a lot of the things that he has said.
Well, and I think a lot of these executive orders and booby traps he's putting in for Trump in this so-called peaceful transition of power are really not being done by him, but by whoever is pulling his strings.
Well, you go back to those executive orders. I have visions. I remember seeing they bring him a big stack of things, and he's just signing them. He's not looking. He's just signing them all. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, I know this. One of our true presidents behind the scenes just got a special freedom award by the name of George Soros.
Well, I was going to hit that. You beat me to the punch again.
It is kind of a big elephant in the room.
It is. And on the subject of pardons, on December 12th, he pardoned 39 people, most of whom had committed drug offenses. Then he commuted the sentences of 1,499 people. On December 23rd, he commuted the sentences of nearly all federal prisoners on death row.
And many of whom were child molesters and murderers.
Yeah. And so the Biden administration claimed, whether it was him or one of his mouthpieces, that this was the most people ever granted clemency on any single day. So that's
Jim, you understand that's because it's wrong to take a human life if we're executing a murderer. It's okay to take a human life if it's a baby and we're doing infanticide, though. That's a whole different story.
There's an incredible hypocrisy there when you compare those two issues. But at any rate, he was criticized for this. There was a lot of backlash, even from fellow Democrats, because he didn't really vet anyone on the list. It was just across the board, we're going to either let them out and pardon them, or we're going to commute it, which means they can't be on death row, they'll get a life sentence. And then who knows what'll happen then? But it's just incredible. In total, he's pardoned 64 individuals and commuted nearly 1,632 sentences. Wow. So much for justice. And on the other hand,
I liked him better when he was just at the beach for 3 weeks.
Or in the basement.
Yeah. Either one was an improvement on what he does when he's in the Oval Office.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever he is. On the other hand, as you pointed out, he awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to George Soros and to Hillary Clinton as well. Two great patriots.
And to Liz Cheney, who's a travesty.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. It's a crazy thing to me. And he can do those things legally. He can award those things. He can commute people's sentences. He can pardon people.
Well, what he did is he cheapened that Freedom Medal. It's now become a participation trophy that anybody can get.
Yeah, yeah. It's not unlike many other awards. And I won't go into the sports things. Pretty pathetic. So, there you have it. Honest Joe. Honest Joe.
You can take this to the bank. I give you my word as a Biden. Yeah,
because his principle is just tell the American people the truth.
Yeah, it just brings a tear to my eye. I'm so moved by this.
Yeah, yeah. About Joe Biden and his honesty. And of course, he hired people, the various press secretaries that he had. They stood up there and lied. Now, there's nothing new about lies coming out of Washington, D.C. Every administration has been guilty of that on some level.
Yeah, but this guy just did it on steroids.
Yeah, he took it to a new level. And really, the concern, what you said, is it cheapens the concept. If I wasn't cynical enough, it's going to be hard to ever believe anything that comes out of that party or people that have been even remotely associated with Joe Biden.
We've had some bad presidents, but I don't think there's ever been anybody this dishonest, this stupid, and this incompetent. And I'm not even talking about the dementia. I understand a person can't help it if they get dementia. I'm talking about everything he was before the dementia.
Yeah. So at least in my lifetime, I can't remember anybody this bad. And so that's difficult stuff, but it's a new year, and we're just a little over 2 weeks away from a new administration. I expect some swift action once Donald Trump is sworn in. I hope that he can correct some of these things, but the scars will be there. And the damage, much of the damage has been done.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, and welcome in our show within a show. Yes, it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
During the, I think right now is the Golden Globe Awards. I don't think anyone really cares that
much. Are they on tonight?
They are on tonight, I think, yeah.
I pay no attention to those award shows anymore.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've got to miss that. Yeah.
It's okay. Right.
Probably have an honorary one for Liz Cheney.
Something like that. So today, I am going to go to 1967 for you for this one.
Okay.
And this is going to go into the R&B soul section. So I know it's not your strongest.
Oh, my.
But I'm going to give it a shot and see if you might know this one. Okay, are you ready, Jim?
Okay, let's find out, yeah.
All right, here is your song.
You do want me, give me love. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you knew it immediately. Oh.
Yeah, immediately, yeah. But let it play.
I like
it. This is a funny title, really. And when I'm feeling blue, and I want to, there's just one thing that you should do. Some kind of sign, girl.
That's right. Good job. You waited to the chorus, of course.
Always liked this one. I'm not sure I would have classified it as soul. It doesn't seem to remind me of other soul songs. But what do I know? This isn't called Stump Bob Siegel. What do I know?
Well, that's right. Get it right. That is a great song, and I would call that R&B. It was Bretton Woods.
That's right.
And the song was, believe it or not, was covered by Ricky Nelson years later.
I did not know that.
Well, that's what I'm here for. So, good song. I had a friend who had a garage band when I was in high school, and they did this song. And everybody said, what are you doing that for? That's one of those Motown songs. And I don't think it was Motown so much, but Brentwood was an R&B artist, and I really did like that song. And I think Bob liked it too, didn't you, Bob?
Yeah, I did. I've always liked that one.
So, two interesting facts
I have. Give me a little sign, I believe, is what the actual title was.
It is, yes. I got two interesting facts for you. Number one, the reason why this became a top 10 hit, the first station to actually play this song was actually here in San Diego. It was KGB, which is still a radio station to this day. So quite interesting.
I thought
the
KGB was in Russia.
No. The wrong KGB.
Well, that was it. Yeah.
Just answers the questions, Fräulein.
Another conspiracy. So that chicken, what you're saying is that chicken was an agent.
Yeah, there you go.
Another song that he did that was popular was Come Softly to Me, which was later recorded by the Fleetwoods, and it became a number one hit in 1959 as well. So, another interesting fact. He did pass away just a couple days ago at the age of 83.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was
83. Didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I liked the Fleetwoods one. That was probably more popular. That one's been used in a lot of movies and stuff. But very good. That's great stuff. Great way to start the year off.
That's right. On a good note, 1-0 so far in Stump Jim Barrier.
Okay, well, that's about the only thing I've done well in. My annual predictions haven't done so well, but I'm feeling good this year about the predictions that I did make at the end of the year last year. So we'll see how all that goes. By the end of the year, I probably will be 0-for in that one as well. Oh, man. Okay, that's fun. Now, I think what I'd like to do now is move on to Biden's legacy with the economy. Oh, my goodness gosh. If there was nothing else for people to think about when they voted, it would be the years from 2016 to 2020 and then from 2021 to 2024. And how was that different when you bought groceries and went to the gas pump and paid your rent and all of those kind of things? It just seems like a no-brainer to me. The average American family lost $7,000 in purchasing power under Biden due to inflation and high interest rates and then other bumbling things that he did that made it hard to get gas and things like that.
Well, how about people using their tax dollars to pay for somebody else's kid to go to college? How about people coming across our borders illegally and taking our jobs? How about the way they pat themselves on the shoulder over minimum wage, which does nothing but put people out of work because restaurant owners that can't afford to pay minimum wage just lay people off? It goes on and on and on. If there was a stupid way to destroy the economy, they thought of it every single day because he's being controlled by people who want to take down our economy. That is their agenda.
Well, the fellow that Biden served under as vice president, the guy who was president a while back, Barry, I like to call him, I remember him saying, we just want to redistribute the wealth. You remember him saying that?
Oh, yeah. He was a piece of work, too. Unfortunately, compared to Biden, he doesn't seem so bad, but he was a pretty horrible president as well.
I agree. But he started that slippery slope with the economy, in my opinion. So here's a couple of stats. The average price per gallon of gasoline during Trump's tenure, average for the entire four-year term, was $2.57 per gallon. Now, I live in Texas, so it was much less than that. In Biden's presidency, it's been $3.61, over a dollar a gallon on average for the whole 4 years. And again, it's been less than that for me because I live in the great state of Texas. It's been worse for you because you're in the state where not only is gas expensive, but then Nebuchadnezzar taxes the heck out of it. And what is gas right now? You see the signs around in San Diego. What's gas going for
there? Oh, gosh. What is it now, Brendan? Like it's about $4 a gallon?
Yeah, above $4, actually. I'm at $4.25
in my neighborhood. Problem is that doesn't look that high compared to what it's been in previous years.
Yeah.
It's gone up way over $5.
Yeah, that's horrible. I filled up very recently, filled up our tank, and the price had jumped. I don't know what made it jump, but it jumped up to $2.44. So, yeah, I love it.
Well, most of the gas in California is being used by Californians to escape from California.
Well, and you know, they had to do that. Kurt Russell needs to do a film, Escape from California.
Escape from LA. Boy. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's part of the equation there. Immediately upon assuming office, Biden canceled the Keystone XL pipeline. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And not only did that make oil in a shorter supply, but it canceled out the jobs of some 11,000 people. So that contributes then to the whole economic
problem. But you have to remember, Biden and his friends said that the economy was doing great and that the border has never been more secure and that America's never been more respected around the world. So come on, Jim, can't you see the emperor's new clothes? Only intelligent people see the clothes, Jim. Don't you see them?
He's committed to telling the American people the truth, always.
Yeah.
He shut down the pipeline, and so now that oil would have to go through other means. You know, trucks and the railroad system, which are all more expensive and pollute the environment more. At the same time, though, he gave his approval to the Nord Stream pipeline from Russia to Germany.
Anything that's not in the best interest of America and emboldens our enemies, that's what they did.
Yeah. So he was restricting domestic oil and gas production, which led to higher gas prices and heating prices, and he called on OPEC and Russia to supply more gas in order to reduce those prices. What makes sense about any of that?
Yeah, first his brain pipeline shut down, and then the other pipeline shut down.
Yeah, and I recall when Trump was in office, we hit a point where we were oil independent. We were exporting more oil than we were importing for the only time, at least in the last 40, 50 years. And so what was wrong with that? We weren't dependent upon anybody for oil, and we were selling people oil, and the prices were down. No, that can't be good for anybody. So he just totally blew up the whole energy thing. And I'm not even getting into the whole going green thing, which is the biggest joke. It's probably the biggest scam perpetrated this side of COVID.
Have you heard about the record winter they're having on the East Coast and the Midwest right now? That global warming gets bad, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I happened to watch a little football this afternoon. I'm still not a big, big fan, but there's playoff implications in some of these games. And one of the games I was watching because of that was in Miami, where it was 40 degrees. in Miami. Wow. But remember, Bob, now it's global climate change.
Well, they call it climate change when it's cold, and then when it's hot, they'll use the word warming. Yeah. They just can be.
Well, I've always
it's not about saving change. The planet. It's about them controlling our lives with regulations. Yeah. Any that's thinking person is. Knows that.
That's what it is. And I've always believed in climate change. You know, winter, spring, summer, fall.
Yeah.
It changes.
One thing about the climate, it always changes. That's a safe bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Or as Bob Dylan once said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Well, since I brought up Bob, nice segue. I did go see the film about Bob Dylan.
I wanted to get your opinion of that. I have not seen it yet, but I know you're such a huge fan. What did you think of the movie?
I am. I loved it. Now, keep in mind, as most Dylan projects and things like this, was a biopic, but it was based on real people and real events. A lot of it was really just fiction, but it was very entertaining. And the guy that played Dylan, if he doesn't at least get a nomination for an Oscar, that'd be a crime. But I think he deserves an Oscar.
Now, Dylan himself is still alive, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes,
has he commented on how he feels about the movie?
Well, he had a lot of input. They had
good.
By him.
So he's probably happy with it.
Yeah, for instance, one of the characters in the film early on, his early girlfriend, they changed the name because he didn't want to invade her privacy. Now, anybody that's followed Dylan's life knows who the person was, who it really was. But he did have a lot of say in how things were portrayed. But I'm going to tell you this. I've followed Bob Dylan since before that song that we had at the Stump Jim Barrier thing. I've been listening to him for over 60 years. And this guy, he watched every tape and video, everything he could. He not only sang. He did his own singing. He sang like Bob, but he talked like him. And that can't be an easy thing to do. You just have to see some interviews or listen to Dylan when he talks. And he talks as strange as he sings. He's just an
How many years does a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea?
Yeah, he is a quirky guy.
An excellent poet and beautiful songs and lyrics, though.
Well, and the
Even
only
if he's
only
not the best one to sing them.
He won a Nobel Prize.
I did writing. Not know that. For what? For arts?
Only pop artist for writing, yeah.
Yeah, I know they have a literature award for Nobel Prize. I didn't realize they did it for music. Well, I guess that makes sense.
Well, he's the first one to ever win it. And in typical Dylan fashion, he didn't show up at the ceremony to receive the award. He's always been a little contrary.
Yeah, but here's the real question, Jim. Did he receive one of Biden's Freedom Awards? That's where it's really at.
He already got one, I think, under Obama.
Okay. And, well, that one's at least a little more legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I love the film.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, just enjoy it. Don't, you know, you can't get real critical and nitpicky about the stuff because a lot of the stuff just didn't happen that
well,
way.
Well, I don't know as much about it as you, so it'll probably be easier for me to enjoy it because I won't be able to fact check it. I'll just take it in.
Yeah, you don't need to fact check. Just enjoy it. And the acting is great. And Edward Norton, I know you're familiar with him.
Excellent actor.
He plays Pete Seeger. And when I read that he had been cast in that, I thought, I don't know.
Well, that was another controversial singer, Pete Seeger, with his anti-war protests.
Oh, yeah. He was a registered communist, and he was banned from TV for years until the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, the Smothers Brothers went off the air for wanting to put him on.
Yeah, well, they got him on a show. I watched it, and he sang Waist Deep in Big Muddy, which was a song about Vietnam and LBJ.
Right, but I think then there was another time where they were told not to put him on. They put him on anyway, and the CBS censors had enough.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they were always at war with the censors. But anyway, I enjoyed the film. That wasn't in my plan to talk about it tonight. But hey, there you go. You get a movie review tonight. And Bob does movie reviews all the time. Bob's a great film lover. And I would say watch the film and enjoy it. You know, even if you're not a big Bob Dylan fan, I think it's an enjoyable film. And it did bring some stuff out about his life. One is that he was always contrarian. He didn't want to be the poster boy for the folk singers. He didn't want to be the poster boy for rock and roll. He didn't want to be the poster boy for the Christians when he did his gospel albums. He didn't want to be a poster boy for country western music, and he just doesn't want to be anybody's poster boy, and he doesn't like to be boxed in. And so that comes through in this story, and I think well done. So,
that has to be admired. Okay, Jim, hold with me for one more break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And now the last bit that I want to talk about is, and you touched on it earlier in the show, the weaponizing of the federal government and how he has abused his power and used the Department of Justice, the FBI, and agencies like that. It's just been atrocious. He's completely politicized it. The Justice Department does not treat equal offenders with equality. For instance, the January 6th people, extremely harsh punishments and lengthy pretrial detentions, and very few of those people engaged in anything violent or any destruction. It was mostly they were trespassing or maybe obstructing government proceedings, offenses which have been always looked over or ignored when it's done by left-wing groups.
Yeah, like the Summer of Love, where they were burning down buildings and people were getting killed and beaten up.
Oh, yeah.
Those people got off a slap on the wrist.
You know, they tried to burn down a federal courthouse in Portland.
Yeah, but that wasn't an obstruction to justice at all, was it? No, because it came from the left.
Yeah, so there's just been great inequality when it comes to his view of justice, which is it's kind of ironic because justice is supposed to be fair. It's supposed to be equal for everyone, but that has not been the case. It's become a political thing, a party a partisan issue, and that's part of his legacy. That's what he's accomplished. And I think he did have a lot of influence. Obama was doing that already, but Biden just took it to another level. Like everything we're talking about here, he just took everything to greater levels or greater depth, however you want to look at it. And then this really bothers me, and you mentioned some of this. The federal bureaucracy is transformed into an apparatus devoted to the cult of, here we go, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Which means racism and segregation. That's what it means.
Yeah,
racism, real segregation. Those of you that are white, stand in the back of the class, even though you're in kindergarten and you don't know what the heck we're talking about.
It's atrocious. And then all of the identity politics in the federal bureaucracy. Many of his appointees were selected solely based on race, sex, or LGBT status.
Well, that he made no bones about that's how Kamala got the job. Do you think that blithering idiot would ever have been their nomination if she didn't check the boxes? They were scared not to give it to her.
So there wasn't anything to do with qualifications or anything reasonable. It's just been this agenda that's being forced down the throats of America. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Just like Bob Siegel, I have opinions. You might not agree with them, but
other people have opinions too.
Contact the station if you think we're wrong about this. Now, this is as preposterous as the opening thing that I read about him telling the American people the truth. He just said this on December 15th. One thing I've always believed about public service, especially the presidency, is the importance of asking yourself, have we left the country in better shape than we found it? And today, I, Joe Biden, can say with every fiber of my being, with all my heart, the answer to the question is a resounding yes. Really, Joe? Really, Joe? You've left the country in better shape than you found it 4 years ago? What drugs are you using? What channel are you watching on the sci-fi?
I've said it before. It's amazing that brain can generate enough electricity to keep those legs moving.
Yeah. So, we don't have time to look ahead. We'll do another show sometime. Can Trump turn things around? I hope so.
He can if the Republicans can get in a straight line and quit making circling firing squads. His greatest obstacles are the stupid Republicans.
Well, here's a question for you, Bob. Will Mike Johnson turn out to be a rhino?
I don't think so, but I do understand that with that slim of a majority, not everybody can get everything that they want. That's the way politics work. And people have got to understand that the only reason we even have the House and the Senate is because of Trump. They need to sit down and shut up and put Trump's agenda in. It's not that I don't believe in checks and balances. It's that they wouldn't be there if not for Trump. And they can't sabotage him like Paul Ryan did. Now, Paul Ryan was doing it deliberately. I don't think anybody in the Republican Congress wants to deliberately sabotage him, but they won't work together. Like I said, they make circling firing squads.
Well, here's the thing. The thing that has worked in a negative way might turn around and become a positive. And that is job security. A lot of times they do this because they don't want to lose their job. Now they're going to be facing the American public when they're up for re-election.
Oh, yeah, they will get primaried out of there if they get in the way. They sure will.
That's what I'm hoping. No matter what anybody says, particularly the media, this last election with Trump winning really solidly, with the GOP carrying the House and the Senate, I think that was a referendum. I think that was a mandate that the American people said enough is enough, and this has been too much, and we need to change and get back to the things that work.
Yeah, the American people are doing better. Just leave it to the Republicans to muck it up. Okay, well, Jim, on that note, we'll have to reconvene. We look forward to having you again next month.
Okay. All right, thanks.
The law offices of Matthew Simone.